Now, back to Dimitri, live and dangerously local on River Talk, 1290 AM, 100.1 FM, 100.9 FM, and 1430 AM. Talking to the Ohio Valley with a local voice.
My local voice is my regional voice, is my national voice, is my international voice, is my worldly voice, is my solar system voice, is my galactic voice, is my universal voice. I'm consistent, if nothing else. Hi there. Download the River Network app and then click River Talk. Get Dimitri 6 days a week, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Steve Novotny, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Mondays through Fridays for him. This from Twitter. I follow Liz Church. I follow lots of really interesting people on Twitter. Liz Churchill writes about this Russian general. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, Dimitri, a Russian general? We're here in the Upper Ohio Valley. Why would we give a rat's ass about a Russian general? Good question. Hear me out. If it wasn't for X, Twitter, we wouldn't know that a Russian general was assassinated after calling out George Soros for biological war crimes and bioweapon labs in Ukraine. General Igor Kirillov, head of Russia's Chemical and Biological Defense Forces, previously accused the Biden administration and George Soros of funding biolabs in Ukraine. Today, which I guess is yesterday now, he was assassinated in Moscow. Coincidence? Question mark. When you stop and think about the insane interest that the deep state has regarding Ukraine, absolutely insane. Ukraine is not part of NATO. Ukraine had been part of the Soviet Union. But when you look at the hundreds of billions of dollars that this government, as well as NATO, the Europeans, have been pouring into Ukraine, and why it's always Ukraine this, Ukraine that, I have to wonder what the deal is with Ukraine. And the reports that we've been getting, including, by the way, I think Victoria Nuland admitted this, there are these bio labs, you know, biological warfare labs in Ukraine that we have funded. And for this Russian general, after he called out Soros the United States for him to be assassinated in Moscow. I mean, think about this. A Russian general being assassinated in Moscow. There's some very bad stuff going on with Ukraine. And when Trump gets into office and they start pulling back the curtain and start seeing just what exactly the deep state has been doing for decades, my guess is that we're going to be so appalled we won't even be able to grasp the enormity of the moral decay that the deep state has caused throughout the world. As bad as it is now, I don't think we can see even the tip of the iceberg. There's some very, very, very bad stuff in Ukraine that they want us to not know about. This Russian general who's assassinated in Moscow was blowing the whistle on. Now, another account that I follow on Twitter is Clandestine. There's a reason hundreds of billions of our tax dollars are in Ukraine. There's a reason the Dems impeached Trump over a phone call to Ukraine. There's a reason Hunter's pardon starts in 2014, right before his bio lab company, MetaBiotech, got their contract with the Department of Defense to begin studying bat coronaviruses in Ukraine. There's a reason big tech censored the story and the mainstream media said there were no bio labs in Ukraine. There's a reason the establishment mainstream media applied so much resistance towards Tulsi and RFK Jr. after they made comments about the bio labs in Ukraine. There's a reason that the CIA, Ukraine, just assassinated the Russian military official leading the investigation into the biolabs in Ukraine. There's a reason the deep state is willing to start nuclear war before they let Ukraine surrender. Everything we are seeing is a result of the deep state trying to cover up their criminality in Ukraine. It's as simple as that. I believe it. I believe it. These guys are ready to start a nuclear war. So we don't find out the truth. What the hell they've been doing in Ukraine? And I'm guessing it is biological warfare. Russia is no saint, God knows. Putin is no saint. I know Russian history, believe me. I know Russian history, Soviet history, all of it. These are horrible people, no respect for human rights whatsoever, none. But Ukraine, for the United States and for the Western European countries to be so obsessed with Ukraine, pouring hundreds of billions of dollars in here, they're hiding something really, really bad. So stay tuned. Something else. The pipe bomb. Have you noticed that there has been no discussion regarding the pipe bomb story that was tied in with January 6th and the so-called insurrection? Well, I've got a guy here who is making a very strong case that the pipe bomb story might be, in fact, the key to all of this. He was talking with Steve Bannon. I want to share this with you. Again, nobody else is covering this stuff. No, the media, the corporate media, nothing. But this guy makes a very, very strong case, raising lots of very serious questions about this supposed pipe bomb and Kamala Harris and January 6th and the FBI. It's really quite remarkable, I must tell you.
What's most damning is what's not revealed. And of course, I would be the one to say there's no word about the pipe bomb, and that's the worst thing, but that's true. The pipe bomb is the smoking gun of the smoking gun. It's the scandal that, as I've reported pretty definitively, I would say, implicates the highest levels of the Secret Service, going up to Kamala Harris, whose detail it was, who hasn't spoken about it at all, very suspiciously. The Capitol Police, which is on surveillance footage, behaving in such a manner as to indicate they knew about this in advance. So the Capitol Police, the ATF, who's a special agent in charge, who is now the head of dignitary protection at the Capitol Police, is the one person that we've named as a key figure instrumental in the cover-up. The pipe bomb exposes the whole thing. Because of the synchronicity with the Ray Epps orchestrated attack on the Capitol, it's the linchpin. It's what opens everything up going all the way to the very top. So anything that does not discuss the pipe bomb is not serious in my view. Now, people could say, oh, this is just about the FBI and you're mentioning other agencies. Okay, fair enough. Let's focus on the FBI. Stephen D'Antuono was the head of the Washington field office of the FBI. He was appointed by Christopher Wray. His previous employment was running the Detroit field office, where he oversaw the now disgraced and exposed entrapment operation known as the Whitmer kidnapping plot. That was him. Of all the agents in the country, Ray picks that guy to go to Washington and oversee the January 6th stuff, including the pipe bomb investigation. Now, that guy, after a lot of pressure from our reporting, resigns, goes to work for an accounting firm, KPMG. Maybe there's space for him, for space there for Christopher Wray, who knows? But in his retirement, he volunteered testimony to the Judiciary Committee, in which Thomas Massey heroically took our research and reporting and brought it to him, asking him some pointed questions. One of which was, did you ever use geofencing technology to identify the pipe bomber in the same way that the DOJ had used to identify a bunch of other people and indict him? Stephen D'Antuono's answer was, you know, we did try that, but the telecom company came back to us with data, and that data happened to be corrupted. Now, of course, there are multiple sources for this data, so even that was not a believable answer, but it recently came out that even that was a lie, that in fact the data is not corrupted, that it's sitting in the FBI, and it's just waiting for someone like, oh, I don't know, maybe Kash Patel, to take the data that's in the FBI and use it to finally identify who the pipe bomber was. The FBI was caught in a lie here. Also, it's known that the FBI, by mid-2022, this is a long time ago, pretty early on, by mid-2022, the FBI had already deleted or was not in possession of the surveillance footage of the pipe bomb location on January 6th. Why is there no discussion of that? They claim this was their most important and active investigation. It was dead as of mid-2022. So that, in conjunction with the fact that the guy running the investigation for the FBI was caught in a lie, I think to not have that in the Department of Justice's IG report on January 6th renders the whole exercise a complete farce, and it only serves to underscore that if we're doing anything serious, it's going to pull the thread on the pipe bomb. I have all of the last questions. We're in the end stage of this. I have all the things teed up, everything that the future FBI director will be in a position to do if he, that is Kash Patel, chooses to do so. It's right there on a silver platter. I acknowledge it's a very dangerous game. It's one of the most dangerous, second only to the assassination attempts on Trump. But it's critical to fully expose these criminals in the bureaucracies who set up all the American people by extension, by saying this was a domestic terror act, therefore we need to weaponize the national security bureaucracy in order to prevent another January 6th. It was all a lie. It was all a lie from the beginning. It was not an insurrection. It was a fedsurrection. They've invested so much in this. Look at, you know, even that was the reason for you going into prison, because of, you know, they got everybody on the basis of this lie, because there's so much at stake in it. And that's why it's incumbent on us to bring it to the final step, expose it once and for good, and begin the slow and necessary process of restoring legitimacy to our country.
That is Darren Beatty, Revolver News, talking to Steve Bannon. And he's raising a really, really good point about this whole pipe bomb thing. And remember, Cheryl Atkinson famously said that these days, conspiracy theories are simply spoiler alerts. Stay tuned, because I think we're going to learn an awful lot that is just, I believe it's going to be almost incomprehensible for us to understand just how evil the deep state is and just how much horrible, horrible stuff it has done in under the cover of darkness, really. One last thing, and that is the latest shooting, school shooting, the Christian school, and this 15-year-old girl who apparently shot an adult and a child in the school and then apparently took her own life. You've got to start asking some very serious questions, which the corporate media will not, because Big Pharma has bought them off with all of those TV commercials. But you've got to start asking some very serious questions about what kind of pharmaceuticals were all of these school shooters on when they started doing this terrible, terrible thing of killing innocent people. Story after story either hints at it or even mentions it here, there, whatever, but no one seems to be able to put all the pieces together. And I've got to believe, I just believe it in my bones, that for all of these tortured souls who went in and started killing kids and teachers and all of that, I've got to believe, I suspect, that's the best way I can say it, I strongly suspect the common denominator is the pharmaceuticals that they were prescribed. There have been way, way, way too many stories about these shooters, different types of pharmaceuticals. There's a story.
To the flag of the United States of America. And to the Republic, for which it stands. One one nation under God. Indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.